Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Stephen Lane.
And I'm Bobby Norris. Welcome back, Stephen. How are you, both?
Thank you. I'm very good. Canada was exceptional. No complaints.
Tell me everything.
It's Toronto is a gorgeous place. It's a bit like America, but much cleaner and with much nicer people. So we did loads of stuff. I went to a basketball game. I went to a football game, like a Canadian football game. Went to see Mean Girls the musical.
Alan's Light and Shade.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I definitely, when it came to Canadian football game, I had no clue what was going on. But it was actually super fun, and the weather was great. I felt very blessed. Lots of three course dinners, lots of free Prosecco and champagne and wine, and just a really nice vibe. 10 out of 10 would recommend Canada to anyone.
Nothing tastes better than free, does it?
That's so true.
How was the food? Is it lovely over there, the food?
Yeah, I mean, like, it was. It's a bit like being in London. You know what I mean? There's loads of variation and loads of different kinds of places. They have a bit of a pub culture in Canada, which obviously doesn't exist like in America. So went to a couple of pubs. Went to a sports bar, which is really not me at all.
You've gone to Canada and you've come, I'm a new man.
I'm straight.
Yeah, sports bars, football matches, check you out.
And it was actually really fun. Have you ever heard of poutine? Which is like a Canadian...
Not that man.
Not Putin, no. poutine, it's basically chips and gravy with cheese. But it's like a delicacy in Canada. So we had that one night. Just lovely. I really have no complaints, apart from having to do a Sunday night overnight flight. And then working in the morning.
What's the time difference like? Is there a jet lag?
Yeah, they're 5 hours behind. So we left at 7. Our flight was at 7 p.m. and we landed back in London at 6:30 a.m. So I'd had maybe about
never nice land at that kind of time, especially when the 5 hours throws you.
No, really wasn't. I got back home, had an hour's nap, and then I was back at my laptop doing work. It was pretty good. How was it last week? Was summer?
Yeah, lovely show. Thank you, babe. Lovely. Really nice. Great chats. Obviously missed you. Obviously. But I know you'd be having a lovely
time. I missed you too.
Did you end up going to that strip bar that guest was telling us about?
I didn't have enough time to go to any gay bars. I'm very disappointed. Not the end of the world. To be fair, we drank so much that it was on the Saturday night. I had a bit of free time. Like, I was just like, do you know what? I'm just going to go to bed.
Rest.
So I decided against going to any gay bars, which was a shame. But, you know, we moved.
I'm glad you had a lovely time, though.
Thanks,
babe. Have you never been before, had you?
No. Have you ever been?
No. It's somewhere I've kind of always wanted. You know, you kind of have like a to-do list or places you want to go. It's definitely somewhere I'd love to go.
For some reason,
I've never got round to it.
Well, same as me. I mean, if I hadn't have got the opportunity to go with work, I would probably not have done it anytime soon. Yeah, I mean, it's just a gorgeous place. I would thoroughly recommend go the second you get the opportunity, I would say.
Absolutely.
I was obviously there for the Halloween weekend, so it was pumpkins galore everywhere, basically.
And is it like America over there in terms of how big Halloween is?
Probably not as big as America, but there was definitely like a vibe. What have you been up to? Anything exciting?
Well, funny you mention Halloween. I've worked Halloween weekend, so it kind of passed me by, but it feels like the world and his chihuahua was all at Halloween parties. I've seen so many amazing fancy dress costumes on social media. I love that more than the actual day itself. I love seeing, especially, I think it's just such a huge thing in America, isn't it? But American celebrities just go next level with Halloween. But I have a real phobia of clowns, and it's that one time a year I was working on the Friday night. So when I was coming in and out of London, I must have seen like three or four clowns just walking around the streets, London streets at night. It literally just horrendous. Like, really, since I was about four, my mum and dad did me like a, I think it was my first birthday party. And as you did, I was like, oh, we'll get in a clown. I don't think I knew I was getting a clown. Anyway, this geezer walked out. I lost my shit. And 30 years on, I still hate them. And, wow. And I can't figure out why, really, because in theory, they should probably be quite a nice thing. Do you know what I mean? But I think what it is that you don't know what, who or what is behind the makeup. It's the not knowing, isn't it? Because the big exaggerated painted on face and hair and nose and that. Mm-hmm.
Also, there's so many like films and stuff that are about evil clowns, right? So kind of gets into your psyche.
Well, when do you even think of nice clowns now? I mean, I can't even go and see that film. What's it called? The one that stands around or lives down a train. Fuck that. Like, no, it's just like, it gives me the horror. So I didn't mind actually working Halloween weekend. But no, all good my end, thank you, babe, all good. Mm. Getting a little bit of a sore throat, though, but I think that could be a change of weather. You know, it's been so mild over here. Mm. Like the other day, you go out, like layered up because you don't want to get cold. And then kind of it was like 21. And I was like, gosh, it froze you because you don't kind of know how are you dressing for this weather, do you know what I mean? But the only thing about, I mean, I quite like autumn for the clothes. I love like a chunky knit and all that kind of, but I don't think the weather's there yet. I don't know. I don't think it'll be too long, but I think now Halloween's out the way. I mean, as always, come 1st of November, Mariah does a classic post on social media saying, starts cashing in them royalties. Fair play to the girls. Let's have it right. She earns a few quid this time of year. So I kind of feel like Christmas is absolutely here. And we've got I'm a Celebrity starting, haven't we, next weekend with Mr. Matt Hancock going in as
main rival.
What is your thoughts?
Well, I'm really conflicted because on the one hand, I think he's going to be great television. He's obviously going to be the one that gets voted to do all the challenges.
Definitely.
You know, that's going to be fun to watch. On the other hand, he's still a working member of parliament. And there's an inquiry going on into everything that happened during COVID. I read an interesting story last week. So one of the other contestants is Charlene White, who's ITV News presenter and also the Loose Woman host. And she has rightfully so spoken her mind about how some of her family, I think it was her aunt, died from COVID, and how she wasn't a, like the funeral was very minimal. And obviously, you know, remember when all those rules were in place. And I think she's going to have something to say to Matt Hancock. That's going to be a very awkward, difficult discussion. And probably not one he had anticipated coming into.
To be fair, we must have been expecting those, because to go when there's nothing to do but talk and do your tasks and challenges and just kind of survive, like getting your water and keeping your fire alive, he must know that the celebs are going to pull him on things, and quite rightly so. I mean, I love a bit of Charlene White. She's interviewed me a few times, and I've seen her a few, couple of events. So. Yeah, well, I think she's definitely the soul that probably
just
would address
her mind. Yeah,
and I think it's very easy for people who maybe wasn't as personally affected as other people to forget how at the height of this, how many people couldn't have funerals. I mean, when you think back, do you remember there was that little boy that died? And I mean, I'm sure there's so many we didn't even hear about and couldn't have anyone at the funeral. It's just heartbreaking and people having to socially distance and stuff. And obviously, I blame COVID on Matt Hancock. It's not his fault, that side of things. But I think he's not put himself in a good situation in terms of to be seen to be the one that you're making these roles. And then down the line, we see him having a kiss and a cuddle in the office. I mean, I imagine that is going to get hauled up and they're going to speak about it. And I reckon that's half the reason ITV are throwing him in there.
100%. I mean, they're not stupid. And actually, I think it's a pretty solid lineup because they've also got Mike Tyndall, who's married to Princess Anne's daughter.
First bit of royal connection going in there.
Exactly, yeah.
I wonder if he'll be talking about Harry and Meghan. Because I was thinking about this. Obviously, I know we've spoke about it in the past. Like obviously, when Harry and Meghan done like Oprah and he's done James Corden going around on the bus and stuff, we can't see Kate and Will going to see Phil and Ollie or going to see it on GMB with Susanna. So, but Mike can. So if he's in that jungle, he's in his kind of in his right. And I wonder if he's got to kind of fit. Well, do you know what? I'm going to speak on it. It's a funny one. You don't know, do you?
Yeah, completely agree. And I think that's, I mean, that's exactly what ITV will be hoping for. I think also it's going to be a big series anyway, because it's the first one back in Australia for 3 years. The last one would have been, 2019.
Right? Joshua one, yeah.
Yeah,
the one just before,
and then the last two were in North Wales. And although it was good, I mean, it wasn't. It's not the same.
No.
It's going to be a big series. There's also Boy George, who apparently only a few months before had joked about how he'd earned enough money from doing The Voice so that he could say no to I'm a Celebrity. Turns out. No,
he didn't.
It's so straightforward because he's now said he's now done it. He's now doing it. I think it's going to be a pretty exciting series.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the time we do next week's show, we'll be a couple of episodes into it. So yeah, we'll be able to speak a little bit more. I'm just interested to I want to know if we're going to hear anything about Harry and Meghan or he's going to kind of keep the dignified silence. But again, the thing is, I just was wondering if it's going to be, it could go one of two ways. He's either going to think I'm going to talk about it because I'm in a situation that I can, and let's have it right. If I was in the jungle with him, there's no way I'd sit around that fire at night with nothing else to do and not talk about Harry and Meghan. Do you know what I mean? The same as if I was
sat around that fire.
I think whether it then just comes down to what ITV and production airs a conversation. So obviously, there's 24 hours going to be worth of talking, minus obviously when the celebs are asleep. I'm sure things are going to come up, but there's going to be some interesting and maybe some difficult conversations, I think, happening around that campfire.
Right.
Matt might be quite happy to go and eat with chitty grubs and kangaroo testicles just to get out of the camp for a couple of hours.
I think that's a good point, and I don't think people are going to be shy in voting for him, so we'll be seeing it probably sooner rather than later.
Oh, well, I think we will probably see him in 99% of them.
Do you remember when Helen Flanagan was on it and people kept voting for her to do it because she was so terrified?
Yeah.
I think Matt will probably be the same. I think it'll be hard for him to get people on board. But
anyway. And I think he must. He can't be a silly man to have that position of a job. Mm. I mean, some of his decisions are questionable, but he can't be a stupid man. So he's sat on a plane for 24 hours. The penny must have dropped, and he must think, right, the likelihood is people are going to have me doing a lot of the trials and tasks. But that's the name of the game. And I think when you're taking your check, you've got what you're going to do.
Anyway, I guess we'll see. And hopefully we might even be able to get a few of them on after they've come out. That'd be fab. We have a great show coming up today. We've got Love Island 2021 star Abby Rawlings coming up first. And then we've got from Drag Race UK, Charity Case. Very excited to speak to her. And then coming up at the end of the show, we have Chinita Stevenson from Married at First Sight UK. Very excited to get them all in. And we actually have Abby here ready to go. So let's get her in and chat.
Let's go. How are you, hon?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Thanks for joining us this evening. It's lovely to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been a little while.
I think we spoke to you, it was like a year ago, just after you come out the show.
Yeah, as I say, I think it was when I was quite fresh out the show. So yeah, probably either a year or over a year now.
Where has that year gone? This year is so scary now, November. I can't believe it. How have you found it, or how are you feeling a year down the line?
How am I feeling? I am feeling a lot more grounded now. I feel better now. It was all a little bit full on when I first came out, for like a deer in headlights. I feel like now I'm finally like realigned myself. I know what my goals are. I know what I want to do. So I feel just like a lot more ready compared to what it was before.
It must be really hard. I always think that with people that go into Love Island, because when you enter that villa, you've got no concept of what's going on until you leave. So you kind of, you walk in that villa, and then by the time you come out, you haven't changed, but your life's changed without you knowing it. And it's not like you've ever been able to watch episodes along the way or seen social week in, week out, which like a lot of shows, you kind of still, unless you're in that environment, you know what's going on, if that makes sense. So it must be a strange adjusting period to kind of come out and be like, right, this is where I'm at now, and a lot to get your head around.
It is. It's the fear of the unknown. Like, you don't know what's happening, and you just kind of have to not think about it. You're going to try and be as authentically yourself as possible. You also try not to get cancelled. Like, there's so much stuff going on, because you want to, like, sometimes our sense of humour or our humour in general could be like a little bit on the cuff. But when you're on telly, you're like, probably shouldn't say that. But in real life, you might. But it'd be a little bit like a oop. So it is a bit. It's hard to try and like draw the line and be like, this is appropriate for my mom to watch, but at the same time, I want to have fun and not be boring. So you really have to try and like work out how to do that. And that is so difficult. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just try to have fun.
Was you and your fellow Islanders conscious of, like you say, about the cancel culture, about conversation you was having in the villa? Would there ever be conversation about, oh, can we talk about that? Can we not?
I would say half and half. Some people like would go to say something and then go, actually, and other people just had no filter and just did anything. So the funniest person ever in that whole villa, hands down, is Chloe. Chloe would get dared to do stuff randomly and she would just do it. And I remember thinking, Chloe, you do know that the producers, if they wanted to, they could cut that and make you look really strange or like really weird. And she was like, fuck it, it'll be fun. I mean, hats off to you. You're hilarious. I just don't have the balls to do that. But half the stuff that she did was literally just pissing about. She didn't really take it seriously. She somehow got to the finals. I just love it.
Yeah, good for her, I guess, right? But so what have you been doing in the last year?
I've been tattooing a lot. I needed to ground myself and like go back to who I was. So tattooing is like my happy place. I've been tattooing a lot. I have recently just got a new management, which I'm really excited about. I just feel like I needed to have a little bit more guidance and help as to how to get myself back on track to where it is I want to go to. So I'm really excited about that. So there's stuff in the that I want to do, which is like in the pipeline, which is coming. But I think I just needed to kind of get to grips with the new lifestyle before I head on went into it. So at the moment now, I feel like I've been building the blocks to get to where I am. And now this is when I can actually start doing stuff to my full potential.
Hey, we've been quite critical on the show, like in terms of how it's edited and stuff. Do you think, as viewers, we get to see the full picture and a true reflection of what's going on in there?
If you ask me for a yes, no answer, I would say no, you don't. However, I think there's like a storyline, and if you fit within the storyline, you get included. And if you don't, you don't get included. So I remember there was times where there was like things that for me was like a really big part of my journey. I was like, I have to put this on, surely. Then when I come out, like it wasn't aired once. And I was like, oh, that was really big for me. But obviously, because it didn't fit within their storyline they had going at the time, it wasn't necessary. It wasn't needed. So I think there definitely are certain clips they'll try to like make sure they're shown so it makes sense to the viewers. But there have been times where, like one time I had a clip for me that looked like I was crying over Toby, but actually I can't remember what it was. I think I was having like a play fight with Faye and she hurt me and I started crying, but then they put that as me crying because of Toby, when actually I was like, actually it's Faye that made me cry. But it was like,
so was you so quite weird. Unhappy when you've watched episodes, but was you kind of unhappy with how they edited you and situations?
If I'm dead honest, yeah. I have not watched it back. But the reason is, I tried watching the first couple of episodes. Imagine this. Imagine a really boring day of your life and you didn't really do much. And it wasn't that long ago. It was like a couple of weeks ago. And then someone sits you down and goes, watch this. It is so boring. I know what's going to happen. I was there. I saw it with my own two eyes. Like, this is so boring to watch. I think because I didn't get too much backlash, I didn't have too many people having an issue with what I did. I didn't really feel the need to watch it because I didn't have to justify myself. So I think it would be different if I was experiencing that. But because, like, if anything, people just wanted to be like, oh, I want to give you a cuddle. So I didn't really have any of that. So I didn't really watch it. I definitely like YouTube certain clips. I was like, oh god, I need to see how that looks. But other than that, I haven't watched it through anyway.
And what's the group chat saying? Is there still a group chat?
Yes, there is. There's
everyone still in it, or has anyone left?
I think when we first came out, there was a group chat of all of us. I don't know if anyone's still in that one. I've just
is that one gone dead?
I think so, yeah. I think slowly everyone just kept like exiting like casually. I've got one with the girls. That one's still going. And then I just speak to them all separately as well.
Do you think it's sort of, you know, you've like Bob said, you've sort of been quite open about your feelings on the show and all of that. Do you think it's put you off doing anything else like that?
I think anything that is quite as heavily reality TV as Love Island is, maybe not. I don't know. It's things like, so for example, I'd love to do Strictly Come Dancing, but I feel like that's not as heavily reality TV because you've got a purpose, you've got a reason to be there, and it's almost, it's a talent, like you're getting better.
You're learning you're something.
Whereas when you're in Love Island, you're just existing and everything that makes you you is taken away from you. And then you're just talking, being like, it was like, for example, when I was in there, people were like, oh, you're a tattooist, are you good? And I was like, oh, I mean, I think so. I can't really show you. So take my word for it, all right? Like, it was weird because in a normal day life, you just go, yeah, look at my Instagram. So it's really strange to have stuff like that taken away from you because your identity almost is like, not there, and you're like, ah, how do I do this? It's really strange.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It shows how much our lives really do revolve around the internet and technology in some way or another.
Yeah,
when you strip just devices back, but that's a massive thing in terms of him sometimes just having to sit and talk to people. So many people, you sit in a restaurant and you see couples or friends sitting, not even talking at a table or in a bar, just both on their phones.
Yeah, the thing is as well, when you're all living in the same house and you're all experiencing the same things, after a while it does become very samey, the chat, because it's not like you're going off and you're doing different things at work and you're coming home and you have, oh, I spoke to so-and-so today. We're all in the same bubble, we're talking to the same people, we're having the same chats. It does get a bit like tedious after a while, and you're like, oh, and then when someone new comes and you're like, oh, I've got to do it all again, I've got to tell them all my life story. You get bored of hearing your own life story after a while, so it does get a bit like, right, I do this, I do that, my mum's cool, what about you? Like, you just get really
And I guess if someone then gets on your tits and you're in there, it's hard because although you can get up and walk to another room, there's nothing harder than being in under one roof with someone that's either wound you up or you've had a disagreement about something. And then did you find that in terms of, do people quite quickly take sides in there, even if it's conversations that don't make it to the show and they don't get aired? Is there that kind of, is there teams?
There's definitely like cliques within there. Like there'd be certain people who always stick together, and if anything happened, like if they walked off, there'd always be the same people that'd walk after them and go there to console them. I think my year was actually probably one of the least bitchiest years in terms of like people just kind of understood the situation. It's Love Island, you're going to come in, there's a good chance someone's going to take your guy. For example, Chloe again, when I come in, obviously she exploded, which she would, rightly so, about me and Toby. But then she came up to me and she was like, it's not you, it's him, so you're sweet. And then like the next day, I just said something really stupid, and then she like laughed and she was like, you're actually all right, we should just be friends. And I was like, cool. Like the very awkwardness that it could have been, it just became not a thing, because she was like, it's not your bad, you're here for a purpose, so am I, you do your thing, I'll do my thing, best women wins, good happens to be her, so that's all good. That could come on her side.
All's kind of well that ends well, because you're pretty happy now, you're loved up, right?
Oh yeah, I'm so happy. It's good. Everything happens for a reason. The universe has its crazy ways and brought me here, and I don't regret any of it. And every single tear I shed in that villa was worth it in the end.
That's a pretty good way to think of it, I think.
Yeah, I'm a massive believer that what's meant for you won't pass you by. In life, it's all about timing, isn't it? You meet the right person at the right time.
1,000,000%. Timing is the most important thing. Like, might be the right person, just the wrong time. Just gotta give me the moment, and then it will happen. And everything now is just makes so much sense. I just wish I could have told myself that like a year and a half ago. Like, hang in there, Alps. It's all good. It's sweet. She's got your back. You just gotta give her patience. That's it.
It's hindsight, though, isn't it? So many times, you know, God, if I could just go back and tell myself, don't stress, don't be anxious about whatever it is at the time, because at that moment it's the biggest and the worst thing sometimes. And then down the line you're like, oh my gosh, it all worked out all right. I wish I could have gone back and spoke to myself 12 months ago. But we live and learn.
Yes, we do, and it makes us grow and become bigger and better humans.
And you've moved in with your boyfriend, right?
I have, yeah.
How's that?
So because I've known him for a few years, and he moved in with me for a little bit through COVID, so we've kind of lived with each other already.
Oh, really? Okay, right.
So it's one of those ones where, and also before, because he used to live far away from me, every time I'd go and see him, it would be like I'd stay there for a few days at a time, or he'd stay with mine for a few days at a time. So I think I already kind of knew what it was going to be like when I lived with him, and then now living with him, it's like my most favourite thing ever. I get so excited. You know, like when a dog, when you come home, I'm comparing to a dog now. You know, when you come home and the dog's like, bums go in, it's like, oh, yay, I miss you so much. Literally every single day he comes in, drops his bag, and I'm like,
That is adorable. You can't really ask for more than that, can you?
No, I know. It's good. I feel like I deserve it, because I've been put through the mill a few times. So finally, I'm getting the love that I wanted and I deserved. It's nice.
Absolutely. Well, you deserve it, babes.
100%. Love that. Well, Abby, thank you so much for joining us this evening again. And
thank you for having me.
And have a lovely evening.
You're welcome. Thank you. Take care, darling.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Oh. She's such a lovely sweet soul, isn't she?
Bless. So I can imagine her waiting at the door when he comes home. Bless. They're so sweet.
I don't think that's ever happened to any of my exes, to be honest, sadly, but you know, there's still time. Our second guest, Charity Case, is here, so let's get her in. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, hello.
You're all right.
Yeah, really good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Just got home from university.
Oh, what are you studying?
Fine art, actually.
Oh, stunning.
Yeah, I've just been doing some life drawing today of some gorgeous girl.
Oh, nice. How have you been? What's been going down? I believe the drag race tour just wrapped up, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It's just finished. I'd say probably about two, three weeks ago.
How was it?
It was amazing. Like, it was next level touring the country and seeing so many fabulous fans, you know, like, seriously amazing. Like, intense and hard work.
I bet.
And draining and too close to comfort, you know what I mean? Like, 16 people on a bus is too many. but yeah, it was good fun, definitely.
Was there any rails on the bus?
No, actually, like, realistically, we all got on really well, I think.
Gosh, that's good.
Yeah, like, considering it's such close quarters, you know, it was pretty easy going. Obviously people rubbed each other up the wrong way at times, and not everyone gets on like a house on fire, but everyone's adult enough and mature enough to like look past our differences, especially when you are like living with someone, you can't exactly avoid them. So,
and I guess you kind of know as well, like, it's only temporary, right? Like, even if you don't get on with something, you can do anything for a short period of time, and you can
literally, that's my life motto. Everything is temporary. Everything's temporary.
But you know, you mentioned, is this your first year at university?
my first year, yeah.
So that's quite a departure then. So you decided to do that after, I mean, because you would have filmed that series of Drag Race quite a long time ago now, I imagine.
Yeah, we did.
So what made you decide what made you decide to switch up and go to uni following that?
I mean, I think I've always wanted to have a degree. Like, ever since I was really young, I saw myself going to university, and my pathway in life just kind of diverted, and I ended up being on Drag Race, which is obviously fabulous, and I'm really excited.
It's quite a diversion.
It is. But I always saw myself as doing, like, design work or, you know, some sort of traditional style of artwork rather than costumes and makeup. And drag became like my main source of income and my main outlet for all my emotions and, you know, stress, which is obviously brilliant. And I'm not denying what bigger part of it had in my life. It does have a massive part of my life. And I love it. I've loved it for a long time. But I don't want to be wearing corsets and heels for much longer. Like, it's uncomfortable. And I think that I'm kind of limiting myself and my creative perspective by just creating one person in, like, creating one look on myself that then gets thrown away at the end of the night. I'd rather create, like, a whole selection of characters and the world that they live in and their costumes, and it be lasting, you know what I mean? So my motivation for going back to university, or going to university for the first time, is really to refine my creative message and my aesthetic, and to create a really strong and heavy body of work over the next few years to kind of push myself into the direction that I want to be in. And I guess, like, in 5-10 years time, when I finish my degree, like, my inspirations for my career is like Tim Burton, Ryan Murphy, Del Toro, you know, these creative powerhouses that create concepts and imagery and direct. So that's kind of where I would like to be in the future. And I think that going to university is going to help me get there with my creativity.
I can totally see that.
Do you have any regrets about your time on the show, babe?
I don't have regrets per se, because I wouldn't change the way that I am for anything. And I think the reason that I talk about the things I talk about and stand up for the things I stand up for, and the reason that I look the way that I look in drag, is political. It has meaning behind it. And if people want to look into that and want to talk about that more, I'm very happy to. You know, I'm a hardcore feminist, and I think that we, as mostly queer men, shouldn't put women in the same box that straight men do. And I think that it's my responsibility as a man trying to change the boundaries of what it means to be a man to do that for women as well, instead of keeping on pushing the same stereotype and same, you know, things that have been held down on women and keep them oppressed for generations. So that's kind of my reasoning behind not shaving my legs. That's why I refuse to tuck. That's why I refuse to conform to society's beauty standards, because I think it's necessary that the young girls watching the show have somebody to look up to who doesn't necessarily look like a blow-up sex doll.
But does that kind of frustrate you when it comes to Drag Race? And I mean, obviously it does, because the people that tend to win do conform to those sort of looks and messages, and you didn't and don't. And so was it confusing? Not confusing. Was it frustrating?
It's not frustrating, because I think everyone's drag is valid, and I'm not suggesting that people's drag is wrong because it is replicating what the majority see as womanhood. I'm not saying that is incorrect. Mm-hmm. It's not. Everyone should be able to look how they want to look and dress what they want to dress as. But I do think that it's important that we highlight alternative styles of beauty as well as that one same thing, and that we hold them up to the same level and treat them with the same kind of respect. So what was frustrating to me was being told to change my drag up, or being told that, you know, this would have looked better.
I love doing that on that show.
Yeah, when being told that I would look better if it was a pretty face with this look, or, you know, it just kind of plays into that narrative of, like, do we really understand what we're saying here? Because we are pointing at a man saying you're not a woman enough because you don't look like that. And that's kind of, if anything, the opposite of what we're trying to fight for in our community. We're trying to fight for self-identification and people not looking like what you expect them to look like, but calling them what they want to be called. So I think that it's important that we don't push the narrative of this is a woman, and instead we broaden that narrative.
I think as well, historically, like British drag has always kind of pushed those boundaries. I mean, like, you know, you look back to the sort of the origins of British drag, it was it was clearly a man in a dress. It wasn't like someone who was trying to trick or to do that. So I mean, yeah, I think sometimes this is just my opinion. Obviously, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but the UK drag race could do with sort of some understanding of that.
Yeah, so I think in reality, this the whole pageanty style of drag is very American, and it's got a lot of culture over there and a lot of history. Whereas over here, drag has been more of a entertainment form for in a dirty grungy pub, you know, that's not a bad thing either. Like, neither of these are bad things, but it's just very different. And I think that in history, if you look at drag, it's always been kind of taking the piss. I shouldn't say that. It's always
been. You can say that. You can swear on
the show. I can. Okay. Wow. That's exciting. It's always been kind of taking the piss out of womanhood and women, which is fine. We can take the piss out of each other. We're not, you know, we're not snowflakes. That's not the label that we associate with it. But we do care, and I think it's important that if we are taking the piss out of somebody, I think it's important that if we are going to take the piss out of somebody, then we have to understand the context, and we have to understand the effects that maybe projecting this one style of femininity and beauty might have on those 12-year-old girls watching at home.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of social media, I bet you've had so many messages from people thanking you for putting your message out there and getting what it was about. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I've had so much love for, you know, not only talking about my HIV and the activism that I do around that, but also talking about like queer art and talking about alternative art and representing different types of womanhood. And, you know, there's so many women in the audience when I do a show that don't necessarily know why they like what I do, but they like it. And when I open myself up and talk about it like this, then that opens their eyes up a little bit more. And they're like, oh, that's why I relate to you, you know, because they don't see themselves as that stick figure porcelain doll, which we see winning drag race every season. And that, again, that's not a problem. That's not a bad thing. Like, they deserve to win. They're all very, very, very talented girls. Well, mostly men in wigs, but I think it is important that we do hold other drag up to that standard as well, and we praise it and represent it and showcase it.
Sorry, Bob, go on.
I just wanted to touch upon it. Do you see a difference now? Was you diagnosed with HIV when you was 18?
I was, yeah.
So from then to where we are now, age-wise, I'll be a gentleman and won't ask.
You're right. 25.
Can you see a difference in them seven? I'm trying to do the maths, mate. Is that 7 years? Carol Goldman, I own. I can't believe Countdown ain't running off with me the job. But in 7 years, can you see a difference when people speaking out? And
I think I can see a difference, definitely. I mean, if only in terms of developments in medication. I mean, since then, in that time, when I got diagnosed when I was 18, immediately straight on medication and immediately undetectable and healthy and happy and safe, which is brilliant and the way it should be. But now, I can remember that back then being told, well, there may be some side effects to these meds. And it wasn't like, oh, you're going to be on the toilet vomiting. It was like, you might be a bit gassy. You know what I mean? And I remember at first being like, oh God, I am a bit gassy. And now it's developed even more. And at first I was taking three tablets a night. And now I just take one. And it's one singular tablet and I have no side effects whatsoever. So I think I've seen developments in medication since then. And I would like to think that I'd seen developments in society's views and stigma. And I definitely have. I mean, I just did some work for World AIDS Day with a fabulous company, a fabulous HIV organization.
Terence Higgins.
This is a different one. These are called Vive Healthcare, VIIV. And they do more on the medical research front rather than helping individuals in their day-to-day life. And so we were just going around asking some people about what their opinions of HIV were and what their knowledge was. And it was really quite uplifting, you know, hearing people's like openness to learn and openness to be educated, and also hearing people who are educated, you know, who are young and do know best. So yeah, I'd like to think attitudes have changed, and people like me talking about it on TV is the only way to get there. You know, like, I can't remember seeing anyone talk on TV about HIV when I was a kid. Gareth Thomas, maybe the first person, and, you know, he is a white man and I am a white man. The pool of people talking about it is still very small in the public eye. And the step forward is to broaden that horizon so that people don't keep that one stereotype.
Yeah.
Very, very well said. Yeah. You obviously talking at the beginning of the show about doing your degree. Does this mean the end of Charity Case as a character, or will you still be doing performances and the in the future?
I mean, I'm still going to be doing shows over the next year or so, at least, whilst I'm still at university. I'm doing it part-time so far.
Good for the money.
I do have the time. And yeah, I mean, I still need to make some money and I still need to get by. But I do sell my artwork and stuff, and that's a good form of income for me. And I still take gigs, but I have to really want to do it. It has to be something that I enjoy. I know I'm going to really enjoy, and it has to be worth it for the money, really, for me now, because it's just, I'm not as inspired to sit and design a drag look anymore. I'd rather sit and write a script for a movie. You know what I mean? I'm just in a different place now creatively. So drag kind of feels like, now when I know I have to do a new look.
If you're pulling on a pair of stockings. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, so, I totally appreciate that.
I still enjoy, like, being in drag is fabulous. I love being in drag. I love being in the club. I love meeting everyone that likes my work. Like, that's amazing. It's a dream come true, you know, it really is. But I think I'm just seeing this as an opportunity now to take my career and my life to a place that I saw it going when I was younger, and a place that I want it to be in 10 years. Because I don't just want to keep like flogging the drag horse down the road. You know what I mean?
Flogging the drag
horse. It was already dead. You know, it's already a zombie horse. Like, it can't get much further. So, I mean, I love it. But I think I saw Drag Race as an opportunity to build a brand and build an audience and build a profile for myself as an artist more generally, and I'm trying to move in the direction of that now, I think, rather than just being, you know, known as a drag queen. I see myself as an artist and I want people to see that as well.
Yeah.
How do you find dating post TV?
Well, I actually have a boyfriend. I'm very
gorgeous boyfriend.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a boyfriend when we filmed. Me and him have been together for like 4 months now.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah, and to be honest, as I talked about on the show, I hadn't had a boyfriend for a long time. I hadn't been in a relationship for a long time. And it was a big sort of hole in my life, actually. You know, like, I've got my own issues with insecurities and whatnot, and my past experiences that have led me to feeling certain ways and acting certain ways, and it just felt like a massive mountain to climb, to have to give someone all of my baggage, and you know what I mean, it, you know, there's so much
we've all been there, I think, as queer people. I think it's like an ongoing issue for many of us.
it is. I met him in a club and we just hit it off, and it's going absolutely amazingly. He's incredible.
You met them in a club. This never happens. I
met him in real life. We met in a club.
Not in DMs, not on it.
No. And the weirdest thing about it is, like, it looks like I've designed him. You know what I mean? if you'd ask my friends, like, oh, design a boyfriend for yourself a few months back, I would have designed him. It's insane. So yeah, we're in a bit of a fairy tale romance moment right now.
Super.
We'll see how long that lasts.
I hope you get your fairy tale, babe. You deserve it.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you. Fingers crossed, right?
Well, Charity, thanks so much for speaking to us this evening. I really appreciate it. And best of luck with university, because I've done it and it was hard.
Thank you very much.
I haven't done it. I'm sure it's a massive shock.
Yeah, well, I hadn't done it either. So I mean, I'm only doing it part time. It's still hard work. God,
I don't know if I'll put myself through it again. But yeah, best of luck with it, and thanks so much for speaking to us. Thanks, Charity.
Thanks for having me.
Enjoy. Take care. Day.
You too.
Bye. Oh,
everyone's happily loved up with Bob, apart from us.
Yeah, I'm getting that vibe at the minute, and it's that time of year as well. I think people coupling up for Christmas. I saw there was a study.
Well, I say to him, two fingers up. Right, our final guest. We're running out of time. Blimey, our final guest, Chanita Stevenson from Married at First Sight UK, is here. So let's go in.
Perfect.
Hello.
Hello, babes.
You're all right.
Really good, thank you. Thanks for joining us. It's lovely to have you on the show.
I know. Oh, thanks for having me.
How is life treating you since I guess you came to fame, really?
it's been a whirlwind. It's very overwhelming, but it's been really positive. So I'm very grateful for that. But yeah, it's a lot to get your head around.
I always want to ask people that have done Married at First Sight, why? What is it about the show? I can't comprehend what would make someone want to do the show personally. So what made you want to do it?
There's a few reasons. One, I was actually finding it really hard with dating apps. The guys I was meeting were just wanted one thing, and it was very clear what their intentions were. And so my friend was like, go do it. And I was like, no, I did push it off. So I was thinking the same as you. But then I thought, why not? And I do love a social experiment as well. And that's kind of what I saw it as, in addition to thinking, yeah, I'm going to get a husband, so it's going to go great. So that's why I joined it. And I thought, yeah, why not give the experts a challenge? They do this job, so find my Prince Charming.
How do you look back at your experience now?
I must admit, I've reflected a lot about everything I've gone through in that roller coaster. My experience, obviously, I didn't get the end result in which I wanted.
No one ever does on Married at First Sight. Few people do.
Yeah, I'm a positive thinker. Positive thoughts, you know, optimism went in. But I think I was quite fortunate, although, yeah, my husband did one after the experiment. My experience as a whole was good in the sense of I learned a lot about myself. I definitely know what I do not want in a relationship. And also I made amazing friends for life in it. So when I look back, although it was very mentally, emotionally and physically draining at times, like I'm very grateful for it. So that's kind of what I look back on.
What's your thoughts, babe? Because Married at First Sight, it's been quite controversial, with so many people criticising like poor editing and lack of welfare. What's your thoughts on that side of things?
Yeah, this has been a constant battle with some members of the cast.
Yeah.
I think it's difficult because if you have said something, you said it. Mm. So there's no taking away from that. Do you know what I mean? You have your mind, you have your views, and you said what you've said. I do think it is hard at times because sometimes there may have been a bigger discussion, but only a snippet shown. So people can then obviously choose how they're going to perceive that. And you could be like, well, actually, I meant it more on this side. But it's a hard question for me because overall, I haven't been upset with the edit of myself. I know the things I've said. I know the times when, you know, I probably haven't said something the best way or reacted the best way. But on the flip side, I can understand it's difficult when certain scenes haven't been shown or things you've said have been taken a bit out of context. But yeah, it's a really difficult question that, because for me, I've had such a positive response. So I think it's hard for me to sit here and then speak about others where I know like some of my friends have really struggled. You know, Sophie, her wedding day made her look quite materialistic. And she's very down to earth. You know, she likes nice things, but she's very down to earth. So when I think about that situation, then it's difficult because I didn't have that experience. I think it's hard. It's a hard one. Sorry, I've just rambled on then.
It's interesting. It's interesting. I think, with all reality shows, every contestant has a different experience because also it's what they go into it expecting. Some people will understand that the editing will take them in a certain place, and other people can be oblivious. And also it can happen unfairly, and sometimes it can happen fairly. It's really like roll of the dice situation, isn't it?
You just
know how it's all going to come out in the end.
And so many of us went in, you know, for genuine reasons, and you are quite naive. Like, I was so naive to how things work in TV and, you know, how filming is. So just little me from Derby going into that, I was like, oh, okay, like, this is how it all works, falls into place, that sort of thing.
And what's your thoughts on some of the cast saying, like, you just touched upon it there, that you went in for right reasons, as in you wanted to give this a real go. But cast that have said that they've been coupled up and married to someone that was told it was only ever a TV show, that they never saw it as that they wanted a marriage out of it. They was literally just doing the gig as a TV show and for, I don't know, I guess like a profile.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that? Do you think there was a few people in your series that went in just wanting to do a TV show or...
Yeah, I think so, definitely. But I think that's quite apparent throughout the show. And we have, you know, it's hard because I did genuinely go in quite naive with genuine intentions. And they ask you as part of the process, what is your intentions like for coming on? Because I think they do try to sieve out some people that are there, obviously, to boost their whatever they've got going off. And I think they do explore that. So I am quite intrigued. I'd love to know how them interviews went beforehand with the people that did go on, not for genuine reasons and for a platform booster, because that is explored. But I think watching the show, I think those that are genuine and really went and put the heart and soul into it, it's very evident compared to those that didn't. And maybe more so since the show's aired, I think it's been able to show people's true colours more so.
Has anyone surprised you? So obviously, when you film it in advance, don't you? So once you're recording, now that obviously that's wrapped and it's filmed, and once it's aired, has there been anyone where you've kind of thought, I didn't get that vibe from you when I was with you, or whether you was filming with them, but then you sit on your sofa and you watch it back a bit, I can't believe it, you're a stranger. Which one's real?
Yes.
And who?
You know, watching George and April together, I think that was a bit insightful, just seeing them being one-to-one, because at dinner parties, I didn't, you know, sometimes, bless George, but sometimes he had a bit of a stare on him and a look in his eye. And I thought, I had never seen that look in his eye before. And that was very insightful, because I thought, hey, like, what did I miss something? I didn't see that. And it does make you really think back, and you're thinking about different points. You're like, but I didn't see that. Like, did I miss something? And then obviously with them splitting or whatever, you just don't know what goes on. Like, I still don't know what's gone on. But I think that they were the couple that I was most like, oh, okay, this is really interesting.
Your relationship, like with Jordan now, are you all right? Do you think you'll stay in each other's lives? Like, what's the deal?
Ah, me and Jordan, gosh. So after the show, right, so when the experiment obviously aired on the TV and the show aired, it really messes with your head, because it's like it's sucking you back into that time period. And so watching the honeymoon, watching all these great things, it brings all the feelings and the emotions back. So I did get close with Jordan again, and we was kind of seeing how things went. But yeah, you know, when something's done, it's done. And I should have learned from the first time. But we are just friends. Like we stay in contact a lot. It's my birthday next weekend. I'm going to be 30, and he's coming to that. Because although he was a bit of an idiot, let's say, that's polite. It's also the person that I went through that experience with.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's bonded us a lot in terms of who else do you go through something like that with. He's the person that knows exactly what it was like, you know, start to finish of our journey. And he was obviously brought into my life for a reason. So yeah, just friends. And it's strictly saying like that.
And what's your thoughts on they're doing like a Christmas special, aren't they?
Yes.
Are you doing that? Are you on it?
Yes, I am.
And has that been recorded already?
Yes, it was recorded the other week, which was so bizarre. Doing Christmas before Halloween. That's a first.
What's the premise of that one? You're not getting married again, are you? Christmas.
Oh, God, no, Bobby, I learned my lesson. I know, you know, two strikes, you're out, done, right? So that's like a bit like a little Christmas reunion, and it's between a few from last year's cast and a few from this year. So it'll definitely be one to watch.
Oh, exciting stuff. And when does that air? I guess literally around Christmas time.
I believe it's around December, like earlier in December. But yeah, sometime in December. Sorry, I don't know the exact date.
No worries, babe. What advice would you give to anyone who's listening that's thinking, do you know what? I watched it. I might sign up for it next year.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Any tips, any advice, or like Stephen says, swerve it?
It's funny because obviously I didn't get the end result. So then for me to sit here like, yeah, go do it, must sound absolutely crazy. But there are success stories. And my advice would be to anybody that's thinking about doing it, if you want to apply, you never know. And if you are going to do it for genuine reasons, for yourself and also for the person you may be paired up with. And just know that it's the biggest roller coaster you are going on. And it will challenge you mentally, emotionally. There's no preparing for it, just because not only in your marriage, you know, to a stranger and dealing with that, but also the group that you'll be put with as well, because that's just a whole different dynamic. But yeah, definitely say apply, but just be very prepared. Well, you can't be prepared. Just be prepared to not be prepared.
Yeah, as much as you can be. No, well, that makes sense. Well, Tania, thanks so much for speaking to us this evening. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. And, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Best of luck on the manhunt in the future, I guess.
I need it. I'm doing something wrong.
We all do.
Take care, darling.
You too. See you later. Bye.
Good night. Bye. I mean, it's been like full on relationship chats this evening, isn't it? Everyone's,
Yeah, it's been an episode of love.
Yeah, which we're not very good at, Bob, so we probably shouldn't. No.
Me and you, we'll be going on to Married at First Sight next year.
It'll end up me and you marrying each other, Bob, because we'll be the last two left.
Never say never, Stephen. Never say never.
As I always learn from the UX TOWIE folk, you know, always never say never to anything. Right, well, what a lovely show, as ever. You got anything exciting coming up this week, Bob?
What have I got this week? Going over to see Nanny Norris.
Oh, cute.
Couple of meetings, but a little bit of a chilled one this week, really. A couple of meetings, bit of work, and then just catching up with the Nan. How about you, babe?
Sounds good. Well, post Canada, I'm still trying to get my sleep back, so I'm trying to have like a booze free, really calm week. Getting in at a reasonable time from work, reading a book. I'm just trying to have one of those weeks, you know, just sort of super chilled. And then my friend texted me and was like, let's go out for a drink tomorrow night. And I was like, okay, so I'm going out for a drink tomorrow night.
We've about a couple of nights chilled by the exactly. Because that's sometimes, I think, the worst part of coming home is opening the suitcase and getting the washing done.
Oh, and you're like, sometimes, oh, God, it just seems to take forever.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if this sounds really bad, but sometimes I've left my case for about 3 days. I've and had to work up to even open it. I've literally not opened it. It's been in the corner. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I better get around to doing that.
I can tell you right now, Bob, my suitcase is in my hallway. And for the last 2 days, I've been stepping over it every time I need to get out the door. I'm literally, I'm glad the laziest. It's not just me. Everyone does it. All right. Well, great show. Thanks for listening, everyone. Till next week. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.